Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I'll be preaching today on a text different from the ones we've already heard read, and I'd like to read it to you now from 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 10 to 12. Peter writes, "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that was to be yours made careful search and inquiry, inquiring about the person or time that the Spirit of Christ within them indicated when it testified in advance to the sufferings destined for Christ and the subsequent glory. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in regard to the things that have now been announced to you through those who brought you good news by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, make us holy in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Angels are awesome creatures. Across cultures and religious traditions, people have always had a sense that there is more to the world than only what we see, and so there is this abiding interest and intrigue in angels. The scriptures reveal to us that this instinct is correct, that there is this mysterious aspect of God's unseen created world, angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, beings of a higher order than us, not limited by space and granted great powers by God. Angels are awesome creatures, and we are rightly in awe of them and their place in God's creation. But the wonderful mystery we have revealed to us about the angels in this text in particular that I just read is that although we are in awe of the angels, they are in fact in awe of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. These are the things, Peter says, into which angels long to look. Our text is taken from the first letter of Peter. Peter's letter was written to Christians in the early church who were doing it tough. Persecution had already broken out and they were suffering. If you read through the whole letter of 1 Peter, you get these references over and over again to suffering and fiery trials. There's also a sense that these young Christian communities are people of low status in the eyes of the world. They don't have much power. They're little and weak from a worldly point of view. And in this context, then, how does St. Peter seek to encourage them, to lift their spirits as they're down? Well, he simply proclaims the gospel to them. And he wants to impress more firmly on their hearts and minds what it is they have, what it is we have as Christian people. He speaks of the salvation of their souls, the grace which is yours, the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. All of this is the good news, he says, the gospel, which has been brought to you from heaven by the Holy Spirit. And Peter says, the very prophets who foretold of these things, they themselves longed to look into them, to know more about them. And you have it. The logic here is the same as Jesus uses elsewhere, when he says to the disciples, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Blessed are you, New Testament baptized believers, in your sufferings, in trials, in your struggles, in life. Know that you have something so valuable, that those long ago longed to get just a glimpse of it. And you have it, the fullness of salvation. And then Peter wants to just really ram this point home. And so he says, if you still don't see how wonderful this all is, what you have as a Christian person, he says, know this, that even the very angels of heaven long to look more deeply into these wonderful mysteries of salvation. That's their deepest and strongest desire, to plumb the depths of what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. Now let's take a step back and ask why this might be the case. Why is it that the angels long to look into these things? And as we meditate on this question, we can be reminded too a little bit about who and what the angels actually are. The first thing that may come to mind is that it's intriguing the angels long to look more deeply into anything. We may think that because the angels live in the presence of God, they might be in on all the mysteries of the universe, but apparently not. This teaches us that angels, although of a higher order than us in a sense, are not all-knowing. Angels are not eternal like God. They're not all-powerful and all-knowing. Angels are creatures. They are part of God's creation, and there are things which are hidden from them. Remember too that Jesus says the angels are coming with him in his glorious return, but they don't know the day or the hour. Another consideration when it comes to the angels longing to look into the mysteries of salvation is to remember that the holy angels never fell into sin. The scriptures speak of those other angels who did leave their proper dwelling, those we know as the devil and his angels, the demons and the unclean spirits. But the holy angels always see the face of the Father, which is to say they live in the perfection and joy of God's presence. And so we can imagine, perhaps, that this whole drama of sin and the need for salvation is something intriguing and even perplexing, perhaps, to the angels at some level. Another detail to consider is that the angels do not have physical bodies as we do. The word angel means messenger, which is a description of what angels do, but when the Bible wants to speak about what they are, it uses terms like spirits. And so another perhaps slightly speculative thought about their desire to look into the mysteries of our salvation is the bodily nature of what God does in Christ. That the Son of God takes on human flesh to save us, and that our future hope is the resurrection of the body. Perhaps the angels are again fascinated by all this because it is foreign to them in a sense. But one thing we know for sure is that the angels are servants of the triune God, and so perhaps they simply take an interest in what is God's interest. They occupy themselves with God's priorities, and because at the center of God's plan is the salvation of humanity and the redemption of his creation, his servants, the angels, naturally want to look more deeply into these things. So there's a few considerations as to why the angels long to look into these things. But now let's ask another question. How is this truth meant to encourage us, especially in times of suffering? Well, here's one way to think about the impact of St. Peter's statement. Let me give you an illustration. I want you to imagine a hero of yours, someone famous that you would really love to meet or to have met. Perhaps it's a famous sports person or a musician or a world leader. Now imagine if you were able to meet this person, what you would imagine the topic of conversation would be. What would you like to talk about with this hero of yours? Perhaps what it's like for them to perform on the world stage. Maybe all the interesting sorts of people that they've met. Perhaps the ins and outs of how they have succeeded so well in what they did in life. But now imagine you met that person. And in conversation with them, it turns out this hero of yours actually doesn't have a lot of close friends. And they notice that you actually do have some close friends. And all this famous person, your hero, all they want to talk about is what it's like to have mates. What it's like to have friends that can just drop over and relax at your place. And you even keep trying to change the subject back to what you consider to be much more interesting things, but they keep coming back to this subject. And they say, tell me more about friendship. And what about this part of it and that part? And can you tell me just once more about those friends of yours? Now, here's the heart of this illustration. How would that affect the way in which you value your friendships? If you took them for granted or neglected them before, I dare say after this famous person, this hero of yours, took such an interest in them, you'd begin to value them more highly. And it seems to me that St. Peter is saying something like that about the angel's interest in our salvation. We can imagine that although the angels are not all-knowing, they do have access to all sorts of wonders of the universe. The intricacies of the solar systems and galaxies, the way in which our planet and life on it has developed and changed over the ages, the wisdom of God and how He has ordered all things and sustains His creation, all this and so much more could be the focus of their inquiry. And yet what they long to look into, what they desire to plumb the depths of, is the work of Christ, the gospel of your salvation. And so how much more should we value these precious gifts? When you step back and trace the appearance of angels through the biblical story, we can see how they have always been in attendance throughout God's unfolding drama of salvation. As humanity fell into sin and was cut off from the presence of God, driven out of the Garden of Eden, it was the cherubim placed at the entrance with a flaming sword guarding the way back in. Can we imagine that this is where the angelic longing begins? What is God going to do now to fix this? When Abraham came close to sacrificing Isaac, it was an angel who called to stop him at the last moment. Again, can we imagine the angelic pondering continuing, a near sacrifice of a son? What does all this mean? At Mount Sinai, the law is given and thousands of angels are in attendance. As the Ark of the Covenant is constructed, it's the golden cherubim placed at each side with their wings above and their faces towards the mercy seat. And now the angels are wondering, perhaps, law, mercy, how will this all play out? And with the coming of Christ in the flesh, the angels explode onto the stage of this drama. From Gabriel's announcement to Mary, the song of the angels at Jesus' birth, the warning of Joseph in the dream, the strengthening of Christ after his temptation, their service to him in Gethsemane, their announcement at his empty tomb, their presence at his ascension. From his incarnation to his ascension, the life of Jesus is surrounded by the adoration and service of the angels. Christ is the center of the angelic world. This is why they long to look more deeply into the depths of his saving work. Although notice one striking absence, where unlike Isaac, the Son of God has no angels to prevent his death. Not that they weren't willing. He says in the garden, "Don't you think that I couldn't appeal to my Father and he would send me more than 12 legions of angels?" We can almost imagine the armies of angels just bursting with fervor to come down and rescue their Lord from this injustice, but Jesus refuses to call on them because he's going to the cross to bring about salvation for you, for me, for the whole world. That salvation which is the very thing into which these angels long to look. There are a number of famous works of art where after Christ dies, Mary holds her son with deep sorrow on her face. And at either end of Christ's dead body are two angels, but the look on their face is different. It's not sorrow, but it's not quite joy either. It's something more like longing and intrigue and curiosity. The angels long to look into these things. Dear friends in Christ, do we realize the value of what we have in God's work for us in Christ Jesus? Do we perhaps think we no longer need to contemplate the sufferings of Christ and the glories of his resurrection and ascension? Do we understand the blessedness of being those to whom God's plan of salvation has finally come? Lest we neglect this, we are reminded that the angels of heaven who cannot be counted, they long to look more deeply into these wonders, and so should we. We remember too that as we are called to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is much joy among the angels over every sinner who does. And be encouraged this day. These angels are now sent for the sake of those who are to inherit this salvation, as the writer to the Hebrews says. And be encouraged this day because these angels still maintain this desire to look into the mysteries of salvation even this very day. That's why every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we say that we join with angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven in adoring the Lamb who was slain and whose body and blood we receive in the supper for forgiveness, life, and salvation. Angels are awesome creatures, but the really amazing truth is that they are in awe of what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.